So excited to have my good friend John J. Wiley on the show. He is a retired Baltimore police sergeant and host of the very popular Law Enforcement Today radio show and podcast. Additionally, he is a music radio DJ on a very popular FM station in the Florida Keys and has many years of experience in radio, internet marketing, and advertising. In this show, we're going to talk about officer health and wellness, focusing on what you want, and most importantly, going after your dreams. Stop procrastinating. It's not going to fall in your lap. You have to do the work. John J. Wiley, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the CJ Evolution podcast, a top-ranked criminal justice show, top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're not subscribed to the show, please subscribe to the CJ Evolution podcast and also give us that five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We sure would appreciate it. A big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for doing it. Remember this, you were honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up that fantastic work and take care of each other and come home safe. You know, it's such an honor to be partnered with a great company like Detectichem. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep you, the criminal justice professional, safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This application-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Detectichem, and see how they can help keep your organization safer. On to the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my friend, John J. Wiley, on the show. He's a really good friend of mine. We've known each other for a while now. He's the host of the syndicated Law Enforcement Today radio show. He's a music radio DJ, voiceover expert, and a retired Baltimore police sergeant. Jay, are you there, sir?
I am here, and it's a pleasure to be with you, Patrick, and welcome. It's a pleasure to share airtime with you and all your listeners.
Well, I appreciate you being here, brother. And for the listener out there, Jay is like, I mean, I've told him this before, and I always don't mind telling him again. He's like he's a mentor of mine, and I have a lot of questions, you know, and I always kind of chew on Jay's ear, and he's more than gracious to share his experience and knowledge in the podcasting sphere as well as radio. Because I'm really interested in radio. And I wanted to talk, Jay, we talked a little bit before we started about, you know, creating, you know, new careers. I think a lot of cops that I talk to, and maybe you do too, you know, they think that they're kind of pigeonholed into like, you know, after they retire or get out of law enforcement for a variety of reasons, they think that like, they can't do anything else. Like they're resigned to, you know, working security or something like that, which is fine. But What is your experience with, I mean, I know you went through it, but what advice would you give somebody on creating a new career after a successful law enforcement career?
In particular with law enforcement officers, I tell them you have a wealth of experience. You are really good at pivoting and handling the unknowns, and you are perfectly primed for learning a new career, whether you're starting in your 30s, like or 40s or 50s, it doesn't matter. I remember being in the academy a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the instructors who was a police officer said, the average life expectancy for a Baltimore police officer at that time was 52. And what wound up happening is you retire and they would drink themselves to death. That was the outlook that we had in front of us. And the firefighters, they also had it too, but a lot of them had side gigs already. They had small businesses they were running through their schedule. And so when they retired, they were in a better opportunity to launch a full-time new career. The mm-hmm. police, and they are so good at handling so many things, and they really don't even know it.
Yeah. Why is it so hard to kind of explain that to officers? Because again, I talked to a lot of friends of mine that they think, you know, that they can't really do anything else. And like you said, I mean, they have just a plethora of knowledge and experience. Why is it so hard getting through to them that really they can do anything that they want? They just have so much experience and skills. It's so hard to kind of, well, it's not everybody, but you know, the friends I know, it's hard to kind of explain that to them.
I think it's the old saying of the carrot and the stick. And like in my position, I know yours is different. I got hurt and retired at 33.
Yeah.
And with my line of duty injury retirement at the time, I was limited how much I could make, but I couldn't do anything police related. That was the stipulations of it. So I was forced into learning something new, and I did the car sales bit. I sold beepers and bag phones when they first came out and did all that. And eventually I'd had an interest in radio and broadcasting for a while, and I started pursuing it. And here's what it boiled down to, Patrick. I was in front of a computer in the early days of the internet, and I said I wanted to do a recorded talk show that was motorcycle biker themed, and we put it online and people would listen to it whenever they wanted. And I fell in love with it. And I really had no idea what I was doing, none. Mm-hmm. And that proceeded to advance to going to an AM station where I bought my time and then sold advertising. And then I had to learn how to work the equipment. So I went to broadcasting school at night. I was 44 when I started that, night school. And I was the oldest guy in the class. And the thing is, fear gets in the way. I tell people all the time, I've got a mean little guy that lives inside my head that tell you, you're not good enough. You're horrible. You stink. Why would they be interested in you? Just don't listen to that guy. You didn't listen to him when you were a cop. Why are you listening to him now? Get busy, learn something new, and don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you said it, brother. I mean, fear. And for me, it was always kind of worried about not only the fear, but I guess it ties into fear, worried what other people are going to think, you know? Oh my God. I remember when I retired, I had people telling me, oh, you're going to be, it's going to be a revolving door. You're going to be right back. Oh, you started a podcast? Oh, come on. It's going to fail. And so for me, it was the fear. You're exactly right. I mean, overcoming that little voice in your head and saying, you know, screw it. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to go after what I want to do. But again, not listening to the naysayers, because there are always going to be naysayers, especially, you know, there's always going to be people that are critical. You know that. And I know that. And there's always going to be people trying to knock you down. But for me, it was just the fear of kind of, you know, what are people going to think? You know what I mean?
Well, there's a little prayer I say. I'm not what you call an uber religious guy, but I pray a lot. And the long and short of the prayer is, dear God, don't let someone steal my time. Don't let someone waste my time. And don't let someone steal my dreams. And most importantly, don't let that person be me. Because the person that gets in the way of growth all the time is ourselves.
Yeah.
The minute I start caring a lot more about what everybody else thinks of me, look, they don't pay my bills. They don't pay my bills with their opinion of me. Why should I be all wrapped up in what they think? Here's the old thing you get stuck in. I did. I'm just a cop. What do I know?
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot more about policing than these newscasters do.
Yeah. And it's, and I love what you said about that prayer, brother. I grew up pretty strict Catholic, and I remember my mom hammered I don't know if you ever heard of like a serenity prayer. And that's basically, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Not to get religious on you, but so basically, you know, it's, you know, I can't change certain things, but the things I can control, focus on that. And that's going after my dreams and starting something I want to do, and to hell with the naysayers.
Right. And why not you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the ultimate question. Why someone else and not me? That's a pretty broad term. The vast majority of police I know that I've talked to, that I've come to know, either I've worked with, or I've come to know since retiring, mm-hmm. they're some of the best storytellers in the world. They have the gift of gab. And when they get away from testifying, they're testifying in court mode and just tell the stories from their perspective, man, you can't get that content from anywhere else. Yeah. So the question is, if you've got a wealth of unlimited subject matter, why would you not take the time to try to learn how to do simple podcasting and see where it goes?
Yeah, because like you, I totally agree. I think every cop out there, well, maybe not every, but the vast majority, like you said, they have stories, especially doing this a long time. And not only the information and knowledge and experience that you could pass along to the listeners. You know, you and I did a clubhouse a couple of days ago on why law enforcement officers should start a podcast. And I tell cops, you know, that are interested, just do it, you know, take that first step, you know, and that's a good segue into podcasting. You got a huge podcast, brother, out there. What advice would you give, you know, to anybody out there listening right now who wants to take that leap, who says, you know what, I got a story to tell, I want to start a podcast, but what advice would you give them to go after and take that first step?
First thing I would say is do a little bit of research, find out, do a Google search, find out who's really good. And I'm not talking about the Joe Rogans and those people. They were brand names to begin with. They have huge staffs that help them. So they're just the talent. And you and I are in a different world. We got to work our, you know, what's off to get it done. So scroll around and listen to their stories and listen to the people who are really good at how they do their show. Not so much the content and style, because you don't want to be someone other than you, just be genuine, but listen to the best. And one of the great examples, I come from a radio world. So a lot of my show is formatted with radio involved. And I listen to people like Rush Limbaugh. And while it wasn't about agreeing with him or not, it was learning his craft and seeing what he did really well and seeing how I can replicate that with my program. And by the way, you brought up a good point. Clubhouse is such a great place to start. You've got a club there. I've got a club. It's called LET Radio and Podcast. People can follow me. I'll pass on any info I can to help anybody anytime. But it's as simple if you use an iPhone, download it, get on there, and listen while you're driving your car. It's great. Yeah. You can learn from people all over the planet.
Yeah. And I tell people, you know, because again, talk to people and they want to start a show, but they have this misconception, for lack of a better, well, no, it is a misconception that they're going to get just a million downloads out of the gate, that they're going to make, they want to make $1 million. And unless you said like Joe Rogan, a brand name who came into it, that's probably, I'm not saying, I don't want to squash dreams here, but you got to be realistic too. And I tell people podcasting is not a sprint, it's a marathon. So you got to be in it for the long run. You can't just, you know, jump into it and think that everything is just going to fall in your lap. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Build it like a business, treat it like a business. You know, the great thing about this is you don't have to have a lot of money to get started. You don't have to have years of college to get started. You don't have to be particularly great at anything other than, in the case of us, being career police. You don't have to have 6 years of college. You don't have to have $100,000 worth of debt. You could decide to open up a business and maybe invest everything you have in a car wash or an Irish pub or something of that nature. And, you know, it's a crapshoot. At best, you could lose everything you've ever worked for trying to start that business. By doing something like a podcast and social media and other things, you don't have the risk of the big investment. And I don't know of too many cops who are wealthy. A couple won a lotto that I know of, but that's the exception. I'm not one of them, but I love the fact that I have control over my destiny. Here's one thing about policing. Whether I made it home at night was not always in my control. What a lot of other people did, like the big myth about de-escalation, you can de-escalate if the other person's willing. If they start shooting at you, you don't have a lot of shot at de-escalating. So by the grace of God, whatever reason, great backup, I made it home at night. So I like having some control over my destiny, what I'm going to do, what my wife and I are going to do. I want to go traveling with my daughters to Ireland together. I want to do the things I couldn't do when I was a poorly paid police, because quite frankly, we all deserve it.
Yeah. And I like what you said early on about, you know, you went to broadcasting school, weren't old by any means, but you went at a later point in your life. And I love the, you know, teaching old dogs new tricks, and it's never too late to learn new things. And that's why I said, I mean, I have a lot of friends in law enforcement, not all of them. Some of them are open to learning new things, but the cops are really good friends of mine. A lot of them are just kind of, they're just so set in the mindset of this is the only thing I can do. And then when they retire, they'll get some security gig. I'm not knocking that position again, but it's almost like they refuse to learn something new. You know what I mean?
Well, again, there's that fear thing. And let's be honest. Let's take a look at the career of a typical cop. and say, you've handled domestic disputes. I remember being a 22-year-old kid going into a family of 40, 45, 50-year-olds, and it's total dysfunction, and you're trying to find a way to find solutions for lifelong family problems at 22. So that's a heavy burden responsibility. Then you go to another call where it's a heroin overdose and you try to save their life. And you're 22. You don't have a lot of education, but you're expected to handle everything that's come down the pike. If you can do that, and here's really one of the best examples I can come up with. You get a call for a domestic dispute, and it's a husband and wife arguing. It's a Friday night. One of them's been drinking, or both of them have been drinking. The husband's a little drunk. There's no injuries. No, and you look at me and say, Joe, here's your options. You can go out for a few hours, maybe spend the night at a hotel, have a great weekend, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Or I can haul you off to jail. That's your choices. What's it going to be? And that's sales 101.
And you're selling. And the one thing I didn't realize until about midway in my career, you are a salesman. You're trying to get compliance. You're trying to sell people certain things, you know, doing one thing as opposed to, you know, going to jail, but you are a salesman. And so you're selling yourself now. And again, going back to podcasts and what you do, Jay, and I do, you know, you, and I never thought I would be, I remember when I started the show, somebody said, well, you're going to be a salesman. I said, no, I'm starting a podcast. And they were like, Patrick, what do you think you're doing? You're selling, you're selling your brand. You're selling yourself. You're selling the show. So yeah, I am a salesman. And I was when I was a cop. I just didn't realize it for many years.
Well, I had a guest on the show. It turns out the most downloaded episode of my show is a guy named Al Marino. And Al was part of the first wave or unit of the LAPD crash gang unit. And he ran afoul of the department for many different reasons. And he was fired. And one of the things he said was, look, I got to be my own advocate. Because at this stage of my life, if I'm not my own advocate, no one else is going to do it. So it's up to you and I. And you're right. You're selling all the time. I've got to sell my show all the time. I got to sell my brand all the time. And quite frankly, you turn on television and you see people who don't have as much talent. You see people who have very little background, don't have much in a way of experience, and they really don't know what they're talking about, yet they're getting paid big bucks. Why? Because somewhere along the line, they believed they could. And they tried it.
And they went for it, right? I mean, they went for it, and they believed they could. I mean, the self-belief that you can succeed, you can do something, is what inhibits a lot of people, you know, to stay within the herd. But the really, truly, you know, the successful people are the ones that went for it and they tried something. Even if they fail, they get up and they go after it again.
Right. The best lessons learned are the failures, because that's how I get better at what I do.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about my show. I started in radio, like I said, about 20 years ago, and I've always wanted to do some sort of talk. I started off when it called Hot Talk. And I want to get back to that. So what I did, I still do music radio. I'm still a midday jock in the Florida Keys. My honor name is Ripley. That's a long story. but the name was given to me, and it stuck. So in the music radio world, you're really confined to time and the elements of what the station owner manager wants you to do. But you literally have the ability to talk to hundreds of thousands of people at any given moment.
Yeah.
What I want to do is I want to do something using my police experience and radio experience. And I approached a guy named Robert Greenberg. He's an active duty law enforcement officer. He's the CEO of Law Enforcement Today. And he had a huge, huge Facebook presence. I said, hey, Robert, let's have breakfast. And I told him what I wanted to do. Now, I had the advantage of having the background in radio. And I said, I want to do a podcast. I want to partner with you. So it would literally take me 10 years to build that Facebook presence. So that's a big reason why I got the jump I did, and radio stations became aware of the show. That's something all urban can do. But if you don't have a radio background to rely on, you got to have a portfolio. So if you have a portfolio, then you find someone that's got a really big presence in your niche. If it's firefighter, if it's EMT, if it's military, if it's something else, you want to do construction talk, home remodeling, whatever it might be, make sure you build your portfolio of shows. Then find someone who's got a huge presence and say, hey, look, I got great content that might benefit you and your followers on your page, mm-hmm. and then see what deal you can work out.
Yeah. And then go for it. Like you did. You didn't know what was going to happen when you met Robert. I mean, did you know him beforehand, or you just like reach out to him?
I reached out to him. I sent him a direct message on Facebook and I said, hey, I happen to be in the same neighborhood as you. Let's just say your case, you're in Colorado and you see someone in Southern California is doing this. And you approach them a couple of times on direct message. Then you strike up an email conversation and say, look, I'll fly out for a long weekend. Let's sit down and talk and see if it's a good fit. If it's not a good fit, guess what? No harm, no foul. I had a little vacation. We part as friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to expand on that for a minute, Jay, because, you know, I see people, they'll reach out to me sometimes. And I know that a lot of people reach out to you, but there's a right way to do this, right? And if you know what I mean, there's a right way to reach out to somebody and a wrong way. And I've seen right ways and I've seen just a ton of wrong ways to just kind of cold call and reach out to somebody. And it's kind of frustrating to me because it's so transparent, but can you explain or give the listeners some tips about, so if they want to reach out to an influencer, obviously Robert Greenberg is an influencer. So if somebody wanted to reach out to John J. Wiley, what advice would you give them? Because I think there are ways to do it, right? Instead of, you want to make a good first impression, right? They're everything.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you give to somebody who wants to reach out to an influencer? Because I've seen a lot of wrong things like, okay, this is what I want from you, meaning me, instead of what can you bring, you know, what kind of value can you bring to my show? Does that make sense?
You're absolutely right. The number one rule we were taught all the time, and this applies to the question you have, is respect their time. Mm-hmm. And to turn around and say, I prefer people email me because I get direct messages in all the social media all the time. And be honest with you, I can't keep track.
Yeah,
of that.
It's hard to keep track.
I can't search them. So I reply back, email me. And then if it's something I'm really interested in, I'll reply back with an email and say, hey, give me a call. Let's talk. And here's the number. But what they do is they don't sell themselves.
Yeah.
They'll just say, hey, I'm a retired cop. I got hurt. I went through this, whatever it might be. And I think I want to pick your brain on how I can do what you're doing or whatever it is. It always helps to butter the bread first, give them a little compliment about what they're doing. And by the way, if they're on the air, let's just say Patrick is doing a live stream on social media about his show. That is not the time to come in and say, hey, what about my show? Yeah, don't do that ever. Don't be that guy. No one likes that guy.
And that's happened to me before. And I know it's probably happened to you. So now let's pivot a little bit, brother. You obviously talk to a ton of cops, active duty that are doing it right now, retired Leos. What do you think? And I know this is probably a broad question. I know it is, but I'm going to ask you anyway. From your lens, from your perspective, and I know you got your finger on the pulse of still all these things going on in law enforcement. What do you think some of the biggest challenges a law enforcement, the profession, is going to be dealing with as we, go into the future?
It's the same thing as what we went through when I was a rookie in the 1980s. It's ramped up more because you have social media. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a video camera. Everybody has it. But back then, no one believed a thing we said. I could be like, I guess the character's a Don Quixote or whatever, trying to, battle mm-hmm. a windmill. You're not going to win this battle. You're not going to win it by trying to talk sense to people. You're not going to win it by arguing with people. And certainly, you're never going to win it by arguing in a public platform like Facebook or other social mm-hmm. media. So don't even do it. Show people with your actions and tell people from your stories. That's why what you and I do is so powerful. When someone comes on a Law Enforcement Today radio show and they say, for example, I had a woman on almost 2 years ago named Teresa Kondek. Teresa's husband was former NYPD. He came down to Tarpon Springs, Florida Police Department, and worked there for almost 20 years. He was a couple of years short of retiring, and he was shot and killed a couple of days before Christmas. When Teresa told her story and told her story about how this impacted her personally, mm-hmm. her relationship, how she felt the void, not just him not being there, but a void in how she interacted, and she had to take over the role of being a father for the kids, you can't argue with that. No one can argue with her experience. That's her story. And she can tell it in a way that no one else can. So with our law enforcement, I would tell them this: always carry yourself with integrity. Always carry yourself with honor and pride in what you do. If you have to use physical force on someone, we live by an old saying, I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by six. And yeah. Many guys I know were tried by 12. And there's a good chance you might be tried by 12, but your job is to go home to your family. And your job is to represent your agency and your family name in the best way possible. Do not get discouraged and do not jump into the fire that other people are creating for attention.
You know, with all the stuff that is going on, with all the negative press and law enforcement, not by every outlet, but it's out there, you know, and the listener knows, I still think that the majority of people out there do respect and honor our brave men and women. I wish, and I say this all the time, I just wish they were more vocal about it. But I do believe the majority of Americans support our law enforcement. And thank God, brave men and women are still getting into the field. Not at numbers, at least, you know, in my perspective, not numbers like we've seen in the past, but they're still getting into this profession.
Absolutely. And I would not discourage someone from doing it. What I would say is this, and this I got from someone else on my show, is that if you're going to become a law enforcement officer, especially if you come from a military background, and especially if you were in combat, one of the things you need to do is we need to be proactive about our physical health. We go see a general practitioner once a year for a physical. We go to a dentist once a year for an exam, a dental exam. Get yourself the name and number of a psychotherapist, a counselor, someone who is proficient and skilled and has experience in trauma, and go see them once a year. Do it on your own dime and think it was being preventive. That, look, I'm doing okay, but I want to make sure I stay okay. I don't want to be that guy who is divorced, doesn't see his children, and is drinking himself to death. I don't want to be that guy. Well, none of us has to be that guy, but we've got to be realistic about it and say, look, you're going to get scarred up emotionally and physically in this job. It's to some degree or another, we all do. So let's be proactive about it. And let's have an open book conversation about it. Not just some of the time, all the time. And let's do it before it gets bad.
Yeah. There's a, you know, I wish they would take a lot more time. I remember, and I know, you know, there's post requirements out there. Every state has them. They're, you know, the curriculums and academies are jam packed. I get that. But I wish that they would spend a lot more time than they do on the self-care, like you're talking about, Jay, and being more proactive on the front end instead of, you know, you're going to see it, you know, when you're in the job, as you know, but at least now at the front end, you have a little bit more foundation to kind of deal with it, you know, through a career. And I just wish I hope we get to a point where we're spending a little bit more time than we do. At least I'm just talking from Colorado and you know, from my lens over here. Because we're not spending enough time with this, and too many officers out there, we're not designed, as you know, Jay, we're not designed to see as humans. We're not designed to see all this trauma and human suffering that we do. And I think it's gotten a little better, you know, since I've been in my career and since I retired, but I think we have a long way to go.
It has gotten better. Just from the days when I was doing it, it's a whole lot better. The way we deal with things is totally different nowadays. Excuse me. But the problem is, I think we need to be honest with ourselves and be willing to, if where I policed in Baltimore, if an officer needed assistance, if it's a life or death thing, the code was a signal 13. And what happened, regardless of what district you're in, if an officer in the East Side called a signal 13 or the dispatcher called it on him or another officer called it on him, didn't matter who it was, you got a unique citywide tone. Every radio went to that. And every radio said signal 13 and the location and what information they had. When that happened, you and I both know, we would go through hell and high water to go help that officer and do whatever it took to make sure they were okay. Well, a lot of officers are showing us problems now. They're getting into domestic problems. They're doing things that they wouldn't do 2-3 years ago. And we got to have the same openness and say, I'm willing to say things to them that might step on their toes and might hurt their feelings. But just like that signal 13, I'm coming. And I'm gonna tell you from my experience, what I went through, For goodness sakes, you're retired. I'm retired. I'm retired longer than you. But this was an issue back then. And I'm sick and tired of seeing guys do their book. I say guys, that means men and women, do their full term. And then 2 years later, they're dead.
Yeah.
I want them to have full lives. And I think a big part of that is building the life you want to have today, experimenting, learning something new, opening up my social circle to other people. I'm still not real good at that. I can't be healthy and just have friends only that are cops. I can't do it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work. And I love them. Trust me, I love them.
Yeah. It's such a great point, Jay. One of the best things I ever did. And again, this is not a knock on law enforcement. That's not a knock, but the best thing I ever did was get friends outside of law enforcement. I got divorced after 20 years of 20 years of marriage. And a lot of that is all the baggage I carried. My ex-wife was in parole. I was in, a police officer. So she saw the back end. I saw the front end, and it was just nothing but toxicity. And I take responsibility for that. But then I got remarried, but the one thing that my wife, when I got remarried, wanted me to do was get friends outside of law enforcement. And you know the deal, brother. I was like, well, are they cops? I'm not going out to dinner. And she worked on me and until I conceded one night, and it was the best time I had. These people were actually good people. And you know what? They weren't criminals. And that was an eye-opener for me. And that really was pivotal in changing my mindset. And like you said, being open to new things. And that was about 10 or 11 years ago. And now I have many people I still got good cop friends, but I also have friends that have nothing to do in law enforcement. So I love what you said about that. I mean, it's so important. And some cops that listen might take offense to that. I don't care. You need to get friends outside of law enforcement. It's a toxic environment. That's just the nature of the job.
Yeah. They all see and they all carry their burdens.
Yeah.
So here's one thing that happened with me. Now I got hurt and retired. Excuse me. I got hurt. It was a suspect. I tried to arrest him. He grabbed a hold of my service weapon while still in my hand. A fight was on. Shots were fired at my face. And I thought I sprained my wrist. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I had multiple surgeries, two big steel plates put in, and I was retired at the age of 33. The truth is, the day I retired, I was obsolete. Their life goes on. They continue on, do it. And they got their families to raise. They've got things to do. It's not because they're selfish. It's not because they don't care. We've reconnected at reunions and it's been great. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing in the world. And social media is good for that. But it's my responsibility personally to pick and choose what kind of life I want to have, especially once the job's over. And you're getting towards the end of your career, you better start planning for the next phase of your career. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're going to take the first job that comes along and you're going to feel stuck.
Yeah. And that's, and I learned a long time ago, Jay, was to be versatile. I had a law enforcement career, but I also years ago, I started teaching because I knew I had enough foresight to realize that, I'm not going to do this job forever. And that's just how I was raised. It was to be versatile, have other things going on. Yeah. I focused on my, primary career in law enforcement, but I started teaching. So I knew when I was done with my law enforcement career, well, then I made those connections. I've been teaching at, in college. And so I knew that I could fall into that. And so I tell officers, I say, look, especially young officers, I know you're going to be all in with the job. There's nothing wrong with that, but get to a point where you're looking at other things and have a B plan, not just the A plan, because anything, you're one call away, as speaking to the choir, from a career ending injury or God forbid something else. So what's your backup plan? And like you said, you don't want to get to a point where you're just taking something because you have to take something. Be proactive with it. Try to look down the road. Try to look around that corner and be proactive.
Especially, I think that applies to everybody now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Especially with the COVID, our whole society and work life has changed. Mm-hmm. And you could be an accountant. You could be a doctor. You could be doing whatever it is. And then the next day, your job is gone. And if you don't have a professional career like a doctor or a lawyer or something of that nature, you've got to learn how to adapt. And this is the best time to do that. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. And back in early in the conversation, you talked about how do you want people to approach you? Mm-hmm. Look, if someone approaches you and says, I've been, you know, taking care of my kids for the last 5 years and I want to branch out and do new things, that's a person I want to talk to because they have life experiences.
Yeah.
God bless them, the college grads, while they're great, most of them have no idea what happens in life afterwards.
No.
And I can't teach that. You know, I'd rather teach the old dog new tricks than the new dog try to teach me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, John J. Wiley, brother, it has been an honor talking to you. I know we talk a lot, but now you're on the show, and I sure do appreciate your valuable time, sir. Any parting thoughts on everything we talked about, including all the links to Law Enforcement Today, and John's podcast is going to be linked up in the show notes. But, brother, any final words of wisdom before we take off?
There's an old saying from a sneaker company that I'm not real happy with right now. And their slogan was just do it. My slogan is easy does it, but do it. Just, and by the way, try something new. If it's not something you like, you don't have to do it again. That's the wonderful thing about this. I'm not just talking about podcasting or radio or something like that. Yeah. If you decide you want to go drive a cab and you don't like it, go do something else. You know, you can always go back to doing what you're doing. Never be embarrassed about who you are. Be who you are, and don't be afraid to tell people your story.
Yeah. Sage advice, John J. Wiley. Thank you, brother, for coming on the show. And much success to you in the future. I know we'll be talking soon. And again, thank you for your time, brother.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.